such an honor. I love this church. I've been a huge fan of this church for a long time, and I've had the privilege now to preach here a few times. And so it's just a great joy for me to be with you. I'm going to do something I do very, very rarely. I'm going off script. I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit. He made it very clear what I was to do. And so I'm just going to be obedient to him. Now, don't freak out. God is still in control. But want to go on an adventure with me? Huh? How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church before? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay. But when you're on an adventure, you don't fall asleep. Here we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for Steve's prayer. Come afresh now and anew. You've done amazing things in this church over the last 100 years. We're about, I don't know, in another hour, we're going to celebrate some baptisms. And that's evidence of the fact that you're still moving, God. There are many churches that will go this entire calendar year without seeing anyone baptized. We get to celebrate life transformation in people's lives. And when they come up out of that water, we just want to hoot and holler and celebrate your work in their lives. So now, God, would you speak, I pray, to us in the next few minutes, the things you want to say, I ask in Christ's name. And everybody said amen. What do you expect? What do you expect when you come to church? Like, what do you expect? What do you expect? Like, do you expect to come? Now, Ben is so good. Can we just thank the Holy Spirit for Ben and bringing Ben and Ingrid here to Hayward Wesleyan Church? Can we just thank God for that, like that? Praise God for that. Bro, I never thought it would work, but you're just doing an amazing thing. He's such a church planner. The reason we hung out together in New York is because we're like-minded. I'm a little bit more hyper than he is, but the truth of the matter is that we're both very entrepreneurial, and I just thought, you're going to go into a 100-year, you're going to go into a 99-year-old church, and he's doing a great job. But let me ask you this. What do you expect? Yes. Could I ask you a question? Go back to the book of Acts. If you happen to have a Bible, it's okay. If you don't, you can pull it out on your phone. I don't care. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, because it's not going to be on the screen because I'm off script. Guys, I will get to the screen at some point before we're done. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost. Pentecost just means 50 days after the Passover, which is when Jesus was crucified. So this is almost 2 months after Jesus has been crucified and has come back from the grave. And can I just tell you, the disciples are freaking out. Because they're convinced that the same people that crucified Jesus are going to take them out. And I know you would think, well, he came back from the grave, so everything's cool. Yeah, but Jesus is a one and only, right? And so they're thinking, man, we're a little freaked out. And so we're hiding behind locked doors praying. That's how bold they were. Okay? They were such wimps that they're up in a place where they lock their doors and they're praying. And my guess is that they're not praying first like, oh, God, no. God, would you please come? They're not hyper about it. They're just like, they don't want. So, okay, here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. I'm reading, by the way, through the New Living Translation. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Okay. What would happen if all of a sudden those windows, which don't open, opened, and those doors, which do open, and those doors, entrance 4, which do open, and by the way, those doors, they're not open over there by the gym because I tried to get in them today and they're closed. Maybe what would happen if all the doors all of a sudden flung open and the doors of the sanctuary flew open and there was a wind, like a mighty wind that came through this place through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you, what do you expect? Do you actually expect God to do something like that? Oh, no, that's too Pentecostal for us. I don't care about Pentecostal. I care about, do you actually think that God can move in our midst. And do you believe that he wants to? So they're hanging out, they're scaredy cats, they're praying, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, boom, comes in. Not gently. Then what appeared like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. That's freaky. Now they've got that's like candle stuff going on top of their heads. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about that. As the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, here's the thing. Yes, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to know that Jesus is wildly in love with you. Majorly, wildly in love with you. He went to a cross and was nailed to a cross so that your sins could be forgiven. Completely forgiven. That's why Jesus came. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That was his one-sentence mission statement. The Son of Man didn't come so he could start a feeding program, although he fed 5,000 and then he fed 4,000. He didn't come to set up a healing program, although he healed all kinds of people of all kinds of diseases. No, what happened was is that Jesus came to lay down his life, to give himself so that you don't have to feel shame, you don't have to feel condemnation, you don't have to feel guilt. He paid the price. You don't earn your way into a relationship with him. He already made a way for you to be in a relationship with him. But here's the thing. His death on the cross not only made a way for your sins to be forgiven, for those to come out, but then for his Holy Spirit to fill you. And so that means you've got God in your bod. That's what it means. Is that you have the living, breathing God in your body. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is are you allowing him to do all he wants to do in and through your life? You're now filled with the holy presence of God, just like they were. And the question is, are we letting him do all that he wants to do? Verse 7, they were completely amazed. Because all of a sudden, people in town, in Jerusalem, so the wind comes blowing through here, all the doors are open. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in here, does an amazing thing here. And all of a sudden, there's such a noise here that people in Hayward actually hear it. They hear it all the way down at Marketplace, which is 3/4 mile away. They hear it at Walmart. They hear it at Angler's Restaurant where I ate last night. They hear the word, they hear something, and they come running. This is before cars. This is before TikTok. This is before all that. Before Instagram. This is before all that. They go running to find out what in the world is happening because we've heard something. 1859. I'm lying. 1959, the Hebrides revival happened. The Hebrides are a group of islands off of Ireland. Those two dear ladies were praying because you know what happened? Is they went to church and there were no teenagers or young adults in their church and they were in their 80s. And so they began to pray that God would move in their church. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. They prayed from 10 o'clock at night till 2 o'clock in the morning. And they kept praying, and they kept praying, and they kept praying. And finally, they invited this guy by the name of Dan Campbell to come and preach some revival services in their church. He came, and on the first night that he began, I'm not making this up, it's historical fact. On the first night that he began to preach, there was a dance hall 2 miles away from their church. And at that dance hall, young adults were gathered together. They were just dancing. 1959 dancing. I don't know what twerking looked like in 1959, but that's what they were doing. Okay? The 1959 version of that. Okay? They're just dancing. They're having a good time. They're thinking about how good looking the other person is. They're thinking about all that. And all of a sudden, at 8 p.m. at night, 8:15, when they were just dancing, all of a sudden the power of God, bam, came down upon that place. And all of a sudden, they went running out of that dance hall and started running towards the church. And if you ask them why, they would say, I don't know why, I just feel compelled to run to church. What happened in Acts chapter 2? We don't know why, we just feel compelled to run to where we just heard this sound. And you know what happened in 1959? Those people gave their hearts to a relationship with Jesus Christ. They were just in a dance hall. 2 hours later, they've opened up their heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and revival has broken out. And how did it start? It started by two women who said, we will pray until God moves. Can I ask you, what do you expect? How's your expectancy level? The people of Jerusalem went running to find out what in the world is happening. We heard the sound. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if you showed up here and all of a sudden God showed up and all of a sudden the windows went out, the doors went out, and all of a sudden people from all over just started driving here, and they can't even understand. We don't know why we're driving here. We just sense that we're supposed to come to Hayward Wesleyan Church because we don't even know why. We just have this inner sense we're supposed to go to this church, and they come, and God is so thick in this place that they come out of their cars. This happened 2 years ago at Asbury College. In 2023, in February 2023, people were getting out of their cars in the parking lot 200 yards away from where this chapel was happening, where revival took place for 16 days. People were getting out of their cars and falling under such conviction that they fell to their knees in the parking lot. Can you imagine people getting out of their cars in the parking lot out there and feeling such the presence of God? People that didn't know God. People had never wanted to know God. But they feel such an impression to come, and they're in the parking lot and they're getting out of their car and they fall to their knees and they say, oh God, I need you. Do you believe that could happen here? Do you believe that the Heavenly Father wants it to happen here? Freaked him out. Everyone in Jerusalem comes running. They're freaked out. Like, what in the world is happening? So a guy named Pete gets up. Pete gets up in verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, hey, listen, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about it. These people are not drunk. You just think everyone's high. You think everyone's on weed. You think everyone's drunk off their butts. No, that's not what's happening. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't have time to get high yet. No. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel, who said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon who? All people. I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. This is for young men and young women. And your old men will dream dreams. This is for old men and old women. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. What do you expect? If you follow that along, Pete just goes ahead and tells the story of the gospel. That's all he does. He just tells the story of the gospel. Verse 29, dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself. I'm going to skip all that. Okay, here we go. Sorry. I told you, it was off script. Verse 38, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Like, oh my gosh, we just got done twerking at our houses, and we heard some noise, and now we're like rushing down to church, we don't even know it's called church. We're just rushing to where the noise was, and yes, we remember Jesus. We remember that guy that got crucified 50 days ago. Yes, remember. But what are we supposed to do now? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Here's the deal. For God to move in a powerful way, the first thing we have to be willing to do is confess our sin and repent. I know that's not popular. I get that. I know that doesn't make you like jump up and down with glee. I get that. But for us to experience the manifold presence of God, we have to be willing to repent. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you have ever sinned at least once? Raise your hand. How many of you, you've never sinned, but you know the person next to you have sinned plenty? Okay? You're smart to not raise your hands on that one, okay? See, we all have sinned. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's ideal. We've all sinned. And there's a sense, and okay, Chris, well, I did it once. Like, I opened up my heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, I got baptized. Yes, that's true. But let me, but repentance and confession should be a regular part of our walk with God. Now, there's a big difference. Please say this out loud with me. There's a big difference between shame and conviction. There's just a huge difference between shame and actual conviction. Shame or condemnation says to our spirits, you're a bad person. And some of you right now, you're having a really hard time listening to me because you're racked with shame and you're racked with condemnation. Oh, I'm a bad person. Because the enemy continues to whisper that into your spirit and into your heart. When in actuality, what God does, what the Holy Spirit does, is the Holy Spirit convicts us of very specific sins. There's a huge difference. Shame says, I'm a bad person. Condemnation says, I'm a bad person. But the scripture says, Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Conviction is very specific. Chris Conrad, when you said that, or when you did that, you were outside of my will. Okay, so I keep short accounts with God. I immediately go to him and said, God, will you forgive me for what I said and for what I did back there? That's awesome. So what happened was is that they felt this conviction. What are we supposed to do? Pete says, well, you need to repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to do that right in another 45 minutes. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He'll come on you just like he's come on us. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. We're going to sing that song in a few moments. All who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 people in all. Can you imagine what it was like to all of a sudden have 3,000 people come to Christ in one day? Could it happen here? What if what Pastor Mark said is true? What if what Pastor Ben has said is true? What if God wants to do something more today than what he's done in our past? And what if he's just looking for men and women who will believe him enough for what he wants to do, that they'll do what the apostle did, they'll just begin to pray. Okay, I got to share one last little thing, and then a couple more verses and I'm done. Which coming out of a preacher's mouth means absolutely nothing. But, chapter 3, verse 1. You guys are doing great. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon after all that happened to take part in 3 o'clock prayer service. They're going to go to pray at 3. And as they approached the temple, a lame man from birth, so this guy has never walked. Say never walked. Okay, can you ask? Okay, think. What? I'm not a doctor. I have a PhD. My kids say to me, yeah, he's a doctor, but not the kind that can help anybody. So true. Okay, so, but what do your muscles look like if you've never walked? Atrophy, thank you. I mean, those legs are little tiny spindles, right? Because this guy has never walked, lame from birth. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going in, because he couldn't work, so he had to beg. So he had a little cardboard sign that said, I won't work for food, but will you give me money? That was supposed to be funny. Okay. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Hey, guys, you got any money? Just like cardboard sign, whatever. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. This guy had never walked before. Then all of a sudden, instantly, his muscles are strengthened. He's got sinews. He's got all that. And he's walking around. Can you imagine what that would feel like? You've never walked in your life. I mean, you can twerk now. You can do the whole nine yards. This guy is like going, this guy, oh my gosh. Okay, let me ask you. Did that guy expect to be healed by Peter and John? What did he expect? I don't have money to give you. But the power I have in the authority of the person of Jesus Christ will heal you. Asbury Revival, 2 years ago, true story I'm about to give you. Basketball player who didn't know God. It was at Asbury. He's a good basketball player, so they recruited him, but he wasn't a Christ follower. Asbury is a small Christian college. He goes to Asbury to play basketball, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. But through the Asbury Revival, on I don't know what day it was. I think it was the day 7 or 8 of the 16-day revival. He opens up his heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, he's been dating this gal who is a Christian. So he has some idea of what Christianity is all about. And he had to go to chapel 3 times a week because it's mandatory there. And they go with ear pods in his ears. So he's not really listening. But he's picked up a few things along the way, right? So he just opens up his heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He walks out after just opening up his heart. He walks out of there and he sees. Because again, people are coming to Asbury from all over the world. This happened 2 years ago. People are getting tickets. They're flying in and they're going. And there's a guy there who shows up in a wheelchair and he's got tumors, cancerous tumors, all in his neck and around his body, and he's in a wheelchair. He can't get out of his wheelchair. This basketball player walks out. He's been told of the power of God. And you know what he says? Well, apparently, God can do anything. He just changed my life. He walks up to the guy in the chair, and he doesn't know any better. So you know what he does? He starts praying for the guy in the wheelchair, and God heals the guy in the wheelchair. His tumors are gone. He gets up out of that wheelchair and starts walking around. And you know why? That's because that basketball player didn't know any better. What do you expect? Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God that lived in Peter and John lives in you? Ezekiel 22, verse 30 in the Old Testament of the Bible. I looked for a man or a woman who would stand in the gap for me. I looked for Peggy and Christine's. I looked for people who would be in their 80s. I looked for people who would be 18. I looked for people who would pray for my power to move in their midst. And the problem is in Ezekiel 22, 30, I didn't find anyone. Oh, that God would find men and women at Hayward Wesleyan Church that would say, I will stand in the gap for this city. I will stand in the gap for my school. I will stand in the gap for my work. I will stand in the gap for my family members. I will stand in the gap. A few verses. Guys, if you would go to the verses that are somewhere, come on, yes, that's my face, open up my iPad, thank you. Psalm 85, 6, there are like 4 verses. Psalm 85, 6, if you find them. Revive us again, God. Revive us again so your people can rejoice in you. God, would you revive us again, Psalm 85, 6, so your people can rejoice in you. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14, another passage of scripture that some of you have heard many, many times. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, in other words, repent, confess and repent, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I will begin to work in their midst like they've never seen me work before. Habakkuk, also in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, of what you've done in the past. Please, God, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. God, I've read what you did in Acts chapter 2. I've read what you did in the Hebrides. I've read what you've done, what you did 2 years ago at Asbury. This bloke, Chris Conrad, told me about it. Okay, I get it, God. God, would you do it in my day here? Would you do it at my work? Would you do it at my school? Would you do it in my family? Would you do it here? God, I've heard what you've done in the past, but my expectation has been really low about what you can do here and now. God, I want to raise my expectation of what you can do and what you want to do. Because, God, what I want to see, the same guy, Habakkuk, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. Zechariah, I know, honey, I'm almost done. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Just a screaming idiot on stage. I'm so sorry. Zechariah 2:5. They won't find it in the, they won't, it's okay, really. Zechariah 2:5, you won't find it up on the screen. God, would you be a wall of fire of protection around us and the glory within us? Would you be a wall of fire around us and the glory within us? So here's the thing. God wants, he's looking for people who will be prayer warriors, who will pray that God would surround this church and surround this community with a wall of fire of protection, and then so that the enemy cannot do what the enemy wants to do, because the enemy wants to continue to ruin people's lives through drugs. The enemy wants to continue to cause people to get divorces. The enemy wants to continue to cause people to mess up their lives in a thousand different ways. But God actually wants, he's looking for people that will pray for a wall of protection around this church and around the city, and that he would be the glory within. But he needs people to pray. Last thing I'm going to say. Worship team, you can come up if you want. Last thing I'm going to say. Elijah in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 17 and 18. There's this amazing work of God. And the prophets of Baal are killed, and God is proven to be who God is. But then God says, okay, it hasn't rained here for 3 years. No rain, so it's drought. And they don't have public, like, turn on the faucet water systems. Like, they've had no water for 3 years. Water is scarce. Food is scarce. Drought for 3 years. People hardly have anything to eat. And God says to his servant Elijah, I'm now going to cause it to begin to rain again because the enemy has been defeated, and now I'm going to come in and begin to show people my glory. And I'm going to do that through causing it to rain so that people can drink again and eat again. So he says to his servant Elijah, Elijah, the drought is about to be over. But here's what's fascinating is he says, Elijah, you begin to pray. Now, wait a second. You are the sovereign God over everything, and you said the drought's going to be over, right? Yes, that's what I said. Well, then why did you tell your servant Elijah to pray? Well, it appears that God sometimes only works in ways that he wants to work as a result of men and or women getting on their knees and praying. Upper room, Acts chapter 2, we just read it. What were they doing? They were together in the upper room with locked doors praying. God says, I want to bring a fresh work of my Holy Spirit to Hayward. I want to do that, but I'm only going to do it if men and women will begin to pray. So Elijah, pray. Wait, but you did, yes, Elijah, I said it was going to, but I'm going to actually work through your prayer to make it happen. So what does Elijah do? He prays. And guess what? Nothing happens. He prays again. Nothing happens. He prays again. Nothing happens. Finally, after multiple times, he says to his servant, do you see anything? And the servant says, yeah, I see way out in the horizon a cloud the size of a man's fist. 30 miles away, I see a little tiny cloud. Now, this isn't like, you know what thunderstorms are like. You know it. You're like, oh, this isn't like dark clouds seeing lightning. You know, this is a little tiny white fluffy cloud 30 miles away. And Elijah says, that's it. God's coming. I know he's coming. Because he promised he would. And sure enough, that day, it poured rain. Why? Because God wanted it to happen, and he found a servant of his who was willing to pray. So, I'm going to unapologetically call you to something. I looked for someone who would stand in the gap on my behalf and pray that revival, like Acts 2, would break out in my church in Hayward and in the other Christ-believing churches in Hayward. I looked for someone who would stand in the gap. And I'm just wondering, on this 100th anniversary of Hayward Wesleyan Church, is there anyone in the room who would be willing to stand up and say, God, I'm going to stand and say, I want revival in this town, and I am willing to hit my knees in prayer in the secret places, just like they did in Acts chapter 2, and I will commit to begin to pray for revival. And would you stand and say, yes, God, I want that. No force, no anything. But if you're willing to pray on that behalf, thank you for those of you who already are. If you're willing to just say, God, I'm willing to be a prayer warrior who will stand in the gap and begin to pray. And sweetie, you were the first one to stand. And then you sat down because you didn't know if I was real. God has made, you don't have to stand if you don't want to stand. This is for those who want. God's made you a prayer warrior. You contend for your friend, sweetheart. Your simple, beautiful obedience to the Lord is precious in his sight. And don't you ever let anyone take that away from you. The kingdom of God is like children who come to him. Now again, you don't have to stand. There's no pressure. But by standing, this is what you're saying. Holy Spirit, I want you to have all of me. I will confess what I need to confess. I'll get right what I need to get right. And I'm going to contend for my school. I'm going to contend for my work. I'm going to contend for my family. I'm going to contend for the city of Hayward. And it might just be 5 minutes a day. Can I encourage you guys? Would you put the Awaken Network up? Sorry. Here's a podcast. John Tyson and Boys. I can't recommend this enough. Would you just, once they're done leading worship and doing this last song, would you put that back up when people leave so they can capture that if they want to? You need to go back, but you need to go back to season one, session one, and start listening to that and let your expectations rise of what God can do. Now, I'm as scared to do this as I can begin to tell you. If you really sense that the Holy Spirit is asking you to contend, then I just want to encourage you to come forward and just say, God, I want to contend for my generation. And you can kneel or not, I don't care. But you just say, God, I want to see a fresh work of your Holy Spirit in this day. And we're going to sing The Blessing, which is a beautiful song. Maybe during the song, you would just come forward and stand or kneel, I don't care, and just say, God, renew them in our day. I've heard what you've done in the past. I celebrate what you've done in the past. But I want to see a fresh move of your Holy Spirit today in our midst, here, in this place, in this city, in our school, in our place. God, I'm just hungry to see you work. And you would just come and pour out your heart to God and say, would you do it in our day? You don't have to come. But if you want to, you can. Lord Jesus, thank you for 100 years of your faithfulness. But God, we want to see it in our generation. We want to see it in our day. We want to see you do supernatural things in our day. We want to see you move and work in our day. We want such a move of your Holy Spirit that lives are transformed. We want to see people that have never experienced walking before. We want to see physical manifestations of healing. We want to see emotional manifestations of healing. We want to see people that are victims of sexual abuse healed. We want to see addictions broken. People that are addicted to porn, people who are addicted to drugs, people who are addicted to things. God, we want to see those broken in Jesus' name, God. We want to see a mighty work of your Holy Spirit in our day, God. So we're right now, we're pleading with you to do what only you can do. God, and as we sing this blessing over Hayward, we pray, God, that you would come in newness of power and do what only you can do in our midst. And for all that you do, we will give you praise and glory. God, I pray that you would keep us contending over time. Not a one and done, but keep us contending over time for this city, I pray in Jesus' name.
This next song that we're going to sing is it's called The Blessing. And these are